Every day at Sierra, you'll find top brand apparel, footwear, and gear for 20 to 60% less than department and specialty store prices. And during clearance time at Sierra, those incredible prices are 40 divided by 2.5, carry the one, even lower. And when you shop clearance at Sierra, you can save a whole lot more on everything you need to get active and outside. That's a lot of saving. Epic brands, vast selection, teeny tiny prices. That's Sierra. Visit your local Sierra store today or shop online at sierra.com.
It was Marcel Reed in Death Valley with the hammer. LSU gets absolutely destroyed in the second half at home. David Cohn, former Michigan quarterback, Blaine Crane, former Western State Colorado wide receiver. Again, you know what time it is. It's Crane and Company. We never sleep. We eat and breathe this stuff like y'all do. So we wanted to hop on and talk about what, David, I'll start with you is maybe shocker is the score differential is shocking. Not that A&M won the game. I mean, it's a game we previewed all week. But just the level of dominance and the lack of fight from LSU at home in the second half. I mean, that was just an absolute two-piece to the jaw in the third quarter. I mean, just if you're an LSU fan, I mean, what do you take? Where are you right now?
Basically? Yeah, mentally in a blender. I mean, I told you guys all week that I liked Texas A&M to go on the road and get this win, but because LSU would be at home and at night and already had two losses with no margin for error, that I was expecting a close football game. And as we look down right now, they might put up a 50-piece on them. Like, that to me is unacceptable. And if you're an LSU fan, there's two things that are particularly disheartening about this. One, like we said, at home and at night, that's the best home field advantage in college football. You should never lose by that margin. And then two, to get outcoached, particularly in the second half like that. They had the lead. I mean, I thought the home field advantage is what was keeping them in it in the first half. You're up, what, 18 to 14 at half, and now it looks like 35 to nothing. You're outscored 35 to nothing in the second half. Your opponent in your building went into the halftime and made the adjustments necessary. Man, that one hurts.
Well, I mean, with your back against the wall, too, if you're LSU, like, it's a wrap now on the playoff. You're not getting in. I mean, that's to say you could finish 9-3. You've still got to go to Alabama. Blaine, you know, the thing I keep coming back to is, you know, Brian Kelly at this point, I think we would all agree, is labeled as a CEO type coach, right? Like, he's more of a CEO guy, not as involved in the play calling and that stuff. But I'm starting to realize if you look at his tenure at LSU, it's actually the worst thing that can happen if you're a CEO coach. You keep having problems at different places. It seems like bad problems. You know, it'd be one thing if it's like, hey, man, you know, the shipping isn't going great. We need to fix it. Well, you know, it was the defense. Then it's now the complimentary football. Then it's special teams. Then it's offense. Then it's the offensive line again. If you're going to be a CEO coach, that's because you're able to structure everything to the point where it runs smoothly and you can play complimentary football. It just does not seem like a well-run, well-oiled organization right now.
It just seems like everybody's beat down. It really does. Like, it feels like to the point now where I'm watching Brian Kelly yell at guys in the sidelines, and there's just no reaction.
Yeah.
There's no anything. I don't think I think Nussmeier's checked out. I really do. I think a lot of people, a lot of players, and a lot of coaches have checked out when it comes to this roster. And look, at the end,
how can you check out with two losses and the number three team coming to your crib at LSU? How do you check out of that? If you're checking out of that, you were never really checked in my opinion.
Well, yeah. I just think a lot of it has to just do with the way, like, Brian Kelly's just handling everybody. And look, sometimes you have to get in people's ass and do this and do that. But you can only take so much of that and lose games at the same time. I mean, at the end of the day, these guys are human, right? And it sucks getting bitched at for 6 days out of the week and then get your ass kicked at home at 7 o'clock against Texas A&M. And it just feels like LSU is one of those teams. If one thing goes wrong, right, everything seems to go wrong. LSU was winning this game at halftime.
Yeah.
winning this game at halftime, and then A&M just comes down there and shoves it down their throat, and everybody falls apart.
Well, and I want to make sure we talk good about A&M too. I don't want to make this too LSU.
Oh, that's the story.
Yeah, yeah, for
they're
sure.
Just but great.
Yeah, no, look, I'm sure there's a lot of Aggie fans that don't mind talking about the.
But there is something to the margin of victory here too, Jake.
For sure,
like
for
you
sure.
said, I mean, particularly like LSU. I mean, and again, there's 4 minutes left. I don't know. I mean, look, A&M could just keep going. But we're talking about an LSU team that won the turnover battle. Right now, zero turnovers. A&M turned it over twice. Fewer penalties than A&M, right? And you're losing 49-18?
You're winning at halftime.
You had a safety on a punt. Like, some things went well. And that score differential, man, 1 of 11 on third down.
You want to talk about, you know,
1 of 11 on third down.
You know, you want to talk about, you know, you found the right guy. A&M, was this year two
yeah.
for Mike Elko?
Yeah.
Year two, where they go 8-5 the year
He's
before.
He's out there getting all the juice out of the squeeze.
You want to talk about a disciplined football team and a team who knows it has their identity, who a coach who doesn't freak out if one thing goes wrong. I tell you what, this I had some questions about this A&M team, especially on the defensive side. I know the talent that they have on the offensive side, and I wanted to see Marcel Reed grow a little bit as a passer, and he's done that. But if Texas A&M keeps playing like this on defense, play with anybody in the country.
Well, I think they, especially this year, that they can play with anybody in the country. I you know, we talked about it. The narrative around this game was A&M's offense has been unbelievable on the road. I mean, again, you go look how they played against Notre Dame. I know Notre Dame's not the greatest defense in the world. And then they go and put 45 on Arkansas. And again, you know, we know Arkansas didn't have the best defense ever. But it's hard to go score a lot of points on the road, especially in this league and especially when you're playing high-quality opponents. But it's been the defense that has kind of struggled on the road. Do you? And I want to ask both of you this because I'll tell you what I think. I think the answer is somewhere in the middle of this question. But was this game more about the A&M defense figuring out how to play better on the road? Or was it because LSU's offense and offensive line is just so ass that it's almost hard to play bad on defense against these guys? And again, I'm not trying to kick Nuss in them while they're down, but it's just the proof's in the pudding. Now, where, David, is the answer to that question? Is it more about
the second
A&M?
One. It's the second one. We talked about this in our preview. I thought you brought up some really good points. We had with the two games on the road, Notre Dame 41-40, where Texas A&M gave up 40, but that was in South Bend. And then at Arkansas, giving up 42 points, they won that game by three. There were multiple variables there, right? One is you're on the road in both of those games, but then on the second variable is both of those offenses were really cooking. I mean, Arkansas, not today so much, but Arkansas on offense is lethal, and Notre Dame's one of the best offenses in the country. So today we said we're going to get to single out some of those variables. You're still going to be on the road in a hostile environment, but LSU's offense isn't nearly as lethal as these other two. Let's still see if they give up 30-plus points or something, and that's just not what happened. So I do think we're dealing with a balanced football team. Maybe they're not as good on defense as they are on offense, but I still think they're balanced enough to, I mean, they could win the national championship. Would anybody want to be shocked about
Look,
that right now?
If Marcel Reed keeps running like this,
that kid could win the Heisman Trophy, man. Like again, to Blaine's point, he just keeps growing. There was already a high floor, and now he's growing.
Well, the thing about Marcel is he stuffs every category of the stat sheet, good and bad. Like, you're going to get a ton of good. You're going to get like you're going to get like 200 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, 100 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns. 2 picks. Okay, but it evens out. No, he has so much talent. And ability, but and Cone, I will say, because I had some A&M fans reach out to me, which this is, I think, I'm gonna kick out of this. So technically, they only gave up 34 against Notre Dame. It was a block punt for a touchdown, and I'm sure if I went up to Mike Elko and was like, "Hey, coach, look, I totally misread that game. I thought y'all played back because y'all gave up 40 on defense. You only gave up 34." Like, he'd be like, "No,
fair point." Fair point. If you're cool with 34, look, the way Marcel Reed and this offense is playing, you might give up 34 and still win every game. And you want to know how I know that? Because in a game and on a team where you have KC Concepcion and Mario Craver, the best catch from your wide receiver wasn't either one of them. It was Ashton Bethel-Roman with the one-hander over the middle. Just absolutely shocking me.
Well, and I made this comp during the summer when we were on the show, like, why is everybody just talking about Arch and some of these other guys? Like, nobody's talking about Marcel Reed. Like, he just didn't exist. But you know, and we kind of talked about this and made this comp during the summer, but he's really starting to look like him now. And physically, he looks like him. Try and guess who I think Marcel Reed, and I'm not saying to that level yet, but he could get to this level. Who does he look and play just like to you?
Jaden Daniels.
100%.
Jaden Daniels.
100%.
Wiry, thin,
watching
quick.
Him run around in Death Valley tonight, tell me that
hey,
did not
when
look
he
like
stopped
Jaden
at
Daniels.
The goal line and Harold Perkins ran by him, dude, that was a Jaden Daniels move.
Like, I mean, he's saucy with it. But, I mean, Blaine, like, again, as much as we're going to sit here and the questions about Brian Kelly and all that,
you can't
will be
fire
great.
Him. You can't.
Yeah, no, you can't. I'm not saying you fire him. That's not. Well, it's just like when do people start quitting on, like, the people that matter start quitting on? And again, I know everybody matters. Y'all know what I'm talking about. When does it get to the point, just like I was talking about with Auburn, where it hits the pocketbook? Because the minute that happens,
well, you would think that
friendships
point is right
change
now. Right.
Here's what they'll do. They'll go into the bye week. They'll go on the road in Tuscaloosa and beat Alabama, right? And then and pun intended, the tide will turn.
Dude, well, I'm looking at it right now. You're going to lose to A&M.
Yeah.
You're going to lose to Bama. I mean,
they'll beat Arkansas.
They'll beat Arkansas, but, like, here's the thing. If Arkansas scores 30, 35, like, that could get weird. You'll beat Western Kentucky, then you go to Oklahoma. So let's say you lose A&M, you lose Alabama, you lose Oklahoma. So you end up going, what, 7-5 with this team coming back? I'm telling you, the James Franklin thing put a whole new.
Who's going to pay that back? Who's going to pay that buyout?
Look, how many crawfish y'all sell last year?
Who's going to pay?
Well, the holidays have come and gone once again. But if you've forgotten to get that special someone in your life a gift, well, Mint Mobile is extending their holiday offer of half off unlimited wireless. So here's the idea. You get it now. You call it an early present for next year. What do you have to lose? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Limited time 50% off regular price for new customers. Upfront payment required. $45 for 3 months. $90 for 6 months. Or $180 for 12-month plan. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds may slow after 50 gigabytes per month when network is busy. See terms.
Who's going to pay?
Well, they'll sell Tulane back to
France. It's just weird for me to live in a world where Ed Orgeron can win a national championship at LSU, but the all-time winningest coach in Notre Dame history can't.
Well,
not even Ed Orgeron. Like Les Miles used to eat grass.
Yeah, he was coming off the heels.
I've never seen, literally, LSU won a national championship just by running tall sweep.
With the quarterback lead blocking.
That's it.
No, but David, I don't know if it's that Brian Kelly can't win a national championship at LSU. It's that you feel like now. See, the thing with Brian Kelly was you thought they wouldn't have to just get lucky on a couple players to have more chances to do it. Mm-hmm. That's what you thought. Like, yeah. They'd consolidate, they'd trim the fat. It would be way more organized and consistent, right? Yeah, and consistent build. It's like Ed Orgeron just got lucky. Joe Burrow went from Ohio State. Like, it now feels like Brian Kelly has to hit the lottery to win it at LSU. Mm. And that's just not, it goes back to the CEO thing.
What hurts the most, other than being so close?
Okay. That, I know Rascal Flatts was having
is
an
that, it kind of goes, it's that you bring up the Joe Burrow thing, but damn, you had Jaden Daniels
and Justin Jefferson.
You had,
oh, wait, you talking about
Jaden Daniels.
Yeah. Yeah.
Malik Nabers.
Brian Thomas Jr.
You had the offense.
So wait, did he buy the lottery ticket, but he just didn't even look at the numbers?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the worst.
It's like,
slapping God in the face.
Yeah, it's like you just act in a movie and you just do fantastic and you get a letter in the mail for an award, right? And you're like, oh man, it's gonna be great. And you find out it's a Nickelodeon award and you're getting slimed.
Yeah, like, it just wasn't what you thought.
You can't take it serious, but like it's a serious, like LSU fans they're over it. They're already over Brian Kelly,
which is tough because 4 weeks in, I mean, with
you beat Clemson,
a road win at Clemson, a win over Florida.
No. This just shows you
might as well have lost to Clemson at this point.
Well, this just shows you how funny sports can be and like ironic. For years, LSU fans are like, man, if man, if we can just win this first game, this first big game, like we play so much better throughout the year. We're always in it at the end, but that one extra loss we couldn't have, we had in week one, they're like 0 for 5 and then figure it out and then just barely miss it. The year they go on the road in what a lot of people thought was going to be the toughest opener they've had in that six stretch, they win it and then it falls apart.
I've never seen a different way where both teams broke each other.
Yeah, in a weird way. What are they going to do at coordinator, man?
Which one? No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, special clearly, teams. Clearly, Brian Kelly is frustrated.
Look, I don't know if y'all saw what Brian Kelly said to the special team coach first time. Not the second time. When he was like, "We're kicking nine drives. What the F are we doing? Kicking out of bounds." He went up to Oh Boy and was like, "Punting the ball to number 7 is going to cost you your effing job." And then it cut to commercial. And I just like a cold chill hit my spine.
How about what he said to Joe Sloan?
Voldemort showed up in my living room.
Why are we throwing that route with no timeouts? Did you read his lips on that one?
Yeah, talking to Sloan?
Like, yeah.
Here's the thing, though. Like, the change is you can't touch the defense. Can't touch it.
No.
Can't touch it. It's got to be it's got to be offense, and it's because the offensive line is what's going to cost
money. We need to get to the basics of this. One, you can't fire Brian Kelly. The buyout's too much.
You're not going to fire him.
You ain't got $60 million laying around. Mm-hmm. I don't care how many crawfish y'all have in that state. It's not enough. All right, you have to wipe the offensive staff. You have to wipe it. It's over with. It was a good run. You know. Because Joe Sloan
was it a good run? I mean,
has no feel. The offensive line has done nothing but regress. Keep the receivers, coach.
No, anybody that's ever walked in the offensive line room has to be fired.
Yeah,
like, even if a janitor goes in there to clean it up, you got to fire them.
Then, like, dude, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah,
I'll
be honest with you. I'm so fired up for A&M fans that have like waited so long.
Oh, I mean, Jake's been waiting for this for so long.
Well, look, I said they were gonna go 9-3 last year. Right? I thought they were gonna keep taking steps. I said the Elko hire was a fantastic hire, and it's obviously looking that way right now. Look, things can change. But I'm sitting here looking at the rest of A&M's schedule, and they brought this bad boy up before we get out of here. Make sure you're subscribed, almost to 200,000. That Missouri game looks a whole lot different. You know, I hate it for Bo Prabula.
Look, I hate it for Bo Prabula too, but I tell you what, I mean, true freshman, and it looks a little bit better than him.
Well, he can throw it better.
Yeah.
He can throw it, but it's still, I mean, that's asking a lot. And A&M's going to go in there, and they're going to be so fired up. And then you get South Carolina at home. You're going to do just inappropriate things to Samford. And then you're going to go on the road and play Texas, who I don't know how they won.
I don't know how they survived that, man.
Like, if you're A&M, what's the magic number now after tonight? It's 3, and one of them's Samford. So it's really
they might win all these things, man.
Dude,
they might win all these things. Play Alabama in the
SEC
championship. Sign me up.
I'm watching
Michigan keep Paul Bunyan in Ann Arbor another year right now, too.
Yeah, how nervous are you before that game? Don't lie. When it was 10-7,
us playing on the road, I stay nervous.
Yeah. So if y'all don't have to punt at the end to see
Justice Haynes, that boy can play, though.
Yeah, he can. Yeah, he can. All right. Well, any parting shots here, Blaine? All right, good. Thanks. We appreciate everybody. Go ahead.
No, that was it. That's what I was gonna say.
I love it for A&M fans, man. They're good fans.
Billy Lucci is enjoying a cold.
Look,
soda.
I think y'all are great fans too, and I'm happy to, but the overall stuff's weird. Like, yeah, that doesn't mean
you can't give them just 10 minutes
to you.
Just 10
good win,
minutes.
A&M.
I think we can all agree on great win. Love Mike Elko. Love the culture y'all are bringing on that football team right now. Huge fan of that. It's just get the dudes off the stage with
they're not. Party. Look. Congratulations, Texas A&M. You're undefeated and on the way, it looks like, to a college football playoff appearance. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Got a big show tomorrow, AP poll reaction, weekend recap. We have a bunch of live reactions that are reactions from earlier today. Make sure you check those out. We appreciate you, and we'll see you soon.